I say, hey, we're not playing with those right now. And then I'll bring it out and they'll be like, oh my goodness, this is the most amazing thing ever. And I'm like, yeah, we've had it for 4 years.
Welcome to the Christ United Quarantine Podcast, the show where we get advice, guidance, and inspiration to help us make it through just one day at a time. I'm your host, Ashley Danner, digital content manager here at the church and a lifelong student who's running out of podcasts and audiobooks to listen to. And today's conversation is going to be all about kiddos at home and the parents who love them, we swear. I'm excited to be sitting down digitally with Casey Erdman, the amazingly talented and organized director of our Children's Discovery Center at Christ United. So she's going to share some home education advice, encouragement for parents, and fun ideas that maybe we can try out in our own homes and our own personal practices. Casey, welcome. I'm so glad to have you with me today.
Thank you for having me.
So I ask all my guests the same question at the beginning of our interviews. Have you picked up any strange or interesting hobbies during this strange, interesting time at home?
Well, you know, it's kind of funny. I'm loving how my children's life is starting to mirror my own upbringing. You know, that 80s life we kind of look back at nostalgically. My kindergartner started reading Little House on the Prairie during all this, and we were playing the Oregon Trail, and we're making biscuits, and it's just really cute.
Oh my gosh, I grew up on Little House on the Prairie.
It's great.
We read the books, and I think I've seen every episode of that show. My mom just, it was kind of like one of her cleaning shows, you know?
Oh, sure.
It would be on in the background constantly.
Well, but I'm giddy reliving it all.
I bet. That's awesome. And cooking is so fun to get to do with your kids, too, and making different new things.
I'm sure. I kind of feel like we live on the prairie as well sometimes these days.
Right. I mean, it's almost easier to make bread than it is to go get it right now. If you can find the flour, which, you know, you never know.
And gluten-free, none the least, at our house.
Oh, well, there you go. Yeah, it's a whole other hoop. But, you know, maybe alternative flours are more available than other flour.
Oh, we're not having a problem. We're good. Yeah.
That's great. Well, that's awesome. So I'm glad that you were able to be with me during this time specifically. You know, there's a lot going on with everybody being home and with their kids and parents with kids and caregivers with kids. Is there anything from your perspective that you wish that people knew right now? Information from your wheelhouse that you wish you could hand off to our listeners?
Sure. Well, I think right now the thing that we all miss, and I think we're forgetting that our kids miss it too, is connection. And they might be getting a lot of us, a lot of our FaceTime, but they're not necessarily getting all the connection maybe that they really need. I know at least at my house. And what we know from science is that authentic connection softens the negative effects of stressful situations. And whether or not we know it, we're stressed and so are our kids. And it helps long-term build that resiliency in the face of hardship. And so we can be what our kids need right now. We don't need to look outside of the home for that connection that we can give our own children in the home. And so what that might look like is doing things together. You nailed it whenever you said cooking bread, you know, cleaning, playing, game night. It doesn't have to be something that is orchestrated. It's just giving your kids what Dr. Becky Bailey from Conscious Discipline calls the four components of connection, which are eye contact, touch, presence, and a playful situation. And who of us doesn't want those four things?
Yeah, no, I know I do. much to my introverted husband's chagrin, I need all of those things all day long. And when he's here where I can access him, you know.
Sure. And so it seems like such a daunting task to be parents during this time. But really, the secret sauce is connection. And we don't need any tools for that beyond just our hearts and our love for our children.
Oh, I love that. I love that. So, you know, on the alternative side of that, we're home, we're doing school, we're probably here on week two, or for some people, week three, running out of puzzles and and crafts, and we're so far outside of our norm, we are spending a lot of time together. Is there anything specific you have to share about like the balance between these things that parents are experiencing right now that I just keep hearing is the struggle of this push and pull between work and kids and, you know, homeschooling and the stress of keeping up routines and stuff like that?
Sure. I think one of the things that we have to remember is that we can't be all of those things at one time. We were never meant to be all of those things, which is why our community is so vital to us, because each of us gets enriched and enlivened through knowing different people and being poured into in different ways. So just giving yourself grace as a parent, knowing that you don't have to be that to your kids. You don't have to be that to your home. And from a learning perspective, you don't have to be printing off curriculum for your children. Now, I know that if you're in the district and your children are older, you have a whole different nut to crack. But if we're talking about children, even under 7, under 8, there's plenty of research that says play is the driver of all learning. You don't need a curriculum to foster development in emotional, social, academic, or spiritual ways. And we can look in discovery and exploration, which our children are the masters of, cooperative play or independent play. If they don't have someone to play with, you don't have to be the person your child is playing with all day. And really, we know that the way that our children's development goes is through relationship and connection. As I said earlier, talking to our kids and reading to them is going to be enough to fill their hearts and souls and brains in this time.
I love that. And, you know, I'm sure it's really fulfilling to hear, you know, that a parent doesn't have to do all these things, especially because right now I think that the internet and schools and everybody are saying that here are the things you need to do. We've given you all the stuff. Now go do it. which is not always how it works.
Sure. And just considering the intention of the schools when they give us these things, are they giving us these things to help our kids grow and learn because they think they need them right now? Or are they doing it to fill the time that they think we need so that we can do our work on the side? And just considering where your priorities are and where your family's intentions are, and everyone is going to have a different path, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm. Well, that's, I love that. So this is a perfect moment for us to take just a quick second and give our audience our fun fact for the episode. And this is one of my favorites because it's about one of my very favorite things. Anybody who's listened to this podcast now knows that I love a few things: plants, candles, and I'll just let you all know, Harry Potter. And so studies have shown that reading with your kids is hugely important. I'm sure that you already know that, Casey. But that reading specifically fictional fantasy novels with your children can actually give them a leg up, not just on reading comprehension, but in personality development, complex empathy and social awareness, and overall social skill growth. Harry Potter is was a prime example used in this particular study when they were working with kids. And so there, it just fulfills my point that reading Harry Potter is not just great because it's entertaining, but it helps you be a better human, which I completely agree with myself.
Oh, of course. And I mean, I believe, like I said, that play, it drives learning. And what is more playful than fictional fantasy? And there's whole theme parks around adults going and playing in these make-believe worlds. And I have a fun fact myself. Ooh. Did you know J.K. Rowling invented the names of the houses while she was on an airplane? She got one of those barf bags out of the back of the seat, and she just went through her journal and wrote down names she really liked. Uh-huh. And so on a barf bag, that's where they were invented. It can happen anywhere.
I love that. I love that so much.
So what house are you in?
Oh, I am a Gryffindor. Ugh. But here's the thing. That when I take some tests, I'm a Gryffindor, and when I take some other tests, I'm a Ravenclaw. And so I feel kind of a struggle there because I think that, yeah, sure, I'm outgoing and willing to jump into the mix like a Gryffindor, but yeah, part of me likes all this like learning and growing and exploring. you know, it's, I could get into the Enneagram about that, but we'll save that for another episode.
Well, I always wanted to be a Gryffindor, but my kids and every quiz I've ever taken say I'm a Hufflepuff. So I'm just going to have to take it how it is.
But Hufflepuffs are great. You know, the world's come around to think that Hufflepuffs are the greatest house, which, you know, I like. I think that's it's a very redeeming message for those guys, for sure.
Well, I won't say that I'm not proud of it, but I don't know.
Yeah. It doesn't get as much fanfare, for sure.
It doesn't. It just seems a little basic. I don't know.
You know, it's, from a spiritual perspective, Hufflepuff was the most Christ-like house leader. She wanted to take everybody. Everybody was just as loved as the other for Hufflepuff. So there you go.
There you go.
There you go. Well, so moving our conversation along. So Casey, I've heard just from some of my favorite moms in my life that for them, as you've already kind of mentioned a little bit, homeschooling feels pretty difficult or even sometimes impossible. And not just because of, you know, not being a teacher as their vocation, but with everything that they've got going on and what their kids are going through. And most of my friends are working moms. So, I mean, do you have any advice for parents who are trying to muddle through with the school's help or sometimes with limited help?
Sure. And I think I've spoken enough about the preschool age children, as is my background now. Mm-hmm. Just having them play and do activities as you see fit and really just feeling like you can be flexible. But when it comes to older children, and I spent just about a decade with high schoolers, as I used to teach high school. And I really feel for them during this time, not only the parents, but the children. The amount that they're really carrying around right now is more than they can handle. And so mm-hmm. I just say that we need to be honest and transparent with our kids, especially those increasing in age through adolescence. Remember to apologize when you need to and admit it when you don't know things, especially when we're doing this e-schooling. Like, mm-hmm. I don't know math. Come on. What are they making me do here? But we need to model that to our kids. We need to model the people that we want them to grow to be by reaching out for help and shepherding them through this time as needed. Normally, I'm one of those kids need to take responsibility for their school relationships and responsibilities. But you know what? This isn't normal. And mm-hmm. we need to give them grace, the same grace that we want given to ourselves. And we need to protect and nurture them through this uncertainty. And we need to communicate and connect with them. And one thing that we just have to remember is that our children's brains are not developed. The last part of the brain growth is in the prefrontal cortex, and that is not fully mature well into the 20s. So decision-making, their ability to plan, to consider consequences, to solve problems, impulse control, all of these things are necessary in schooling. And normally they have such a structure, a foundation of people, of a safety net at their school and at home, helping them through these times. But right now it's just you. And we've already talked about how that is not fair to put on you right now. And just remembering that younger brains are more vulnerable to stress than the adult brain. And so we just need to really hold them with just this gentleness right now. Mm-hmm. Just remembering that we do have the responsibility to give them that connection and communicate and be respectful to them, because this is going to be something that impacts the way that they make choices moving forward. This is going to be a monumental time for their lives, and they will always remember it.
Absolutely. I mean, I've thought about that just in comparing with my own childhood, you know, those big crazy things that happened that you remember forever. You know, for me and my age group, that was 9/11, you know, different things that just feel catastrophic. And yeah, I mean, I'll be very interested to see how this affects our kiddos and, you know, how they view the world and how small it is after this too, especially just feeling like this was such a widespread thing, which kind of leads into another question that I'm now thinking of, Casey, is how are we talking to our kids right now about what's going on? And I know that different age groups, that's a completely different conversation, but at least for you, what has been the way that you've kind of been navigating this high stress, high news, high negative environment with your kids?
Sure. Well, thinking to when I was a high school English teacher, I just think of media literacy. And if you're teaching your child anything right now, it should be media literacy. What sources are true? What feelings are true? And what feelings are prodded? And and so as far as just knowing your kids and scaling back in age, right now my children are in kindergarten and preschool, and we're not talking about the news. We don't even watch the news in front of them. You know what? I'm trying to avoid the news for myself too. So
it's a lot.
It is anybody. A lot. And so I think you know your children and what they can handle. And the last thing we want to do is instill a fear in our children that we can never take back. Because once you tell your child that something exists in the world, it changes their worldview. So for my own children, my preschooler, my kindergartner, we're talking about germs and the helpers, the people that are out there helping. And we talk about how it's safe to be at home, and it's not safe or smart to go spread our germs everywhere or to go pick up germs elsewhere. And we've also talked about how the vulnerable members of our population are counting on us making smart choices. And so I think that's age appropriate. As you get into elementary school, you might start to tell them a little bit more about numbers. But I think you as a parent, you get to decide what you're teaching your kids and what you're helping them walk through. And just know that whenever you are giving your kids advice and showing them the path through the world, you're growing the relationship between you and them, and the trust you have built between each other is the good that's going to come out of this. And so taking that time to connect with them, to help them through their emotions. And really, if you decide that it's safe for your child to talk about a subject, the most important thing is that you follow up and you ask them how it makes them feel. About once a day, I ask my kids, "Hey, how does today feel for you?" And they usually say happy. And I say, "Hey, does it sometimes make you feel anxious or scared that you don't get to go to school?" And some days they'll say, "Yeah," or "It makes me feel sad." And just using this opportunity to give them that emotional intelligence opportunity to talk about the feelings that they have. "Well, I'm feeling scared right now," or "I'm feeling sad right now. I'm feeling alone right now." Those are all things that we can name, and that's at every age level an appropriate skill.
Oh my gosh, that's such wise advice, because I think so often, even just in our society, we feel like silence equals calm. You know, if the top of the water is calm, then the underneath is probably fine too. And you know, so often people can forget how complex kiddos are and how good of listeners they are. And how, you know, I mean, just things that even I remember as a kid, understand, you know, knowing was going on and not understanding. You know.
Sure. And they're watching us. My daughter the other day, she's 5. I said, "Hey, can you try this water and let me know if you like it?" It was a sparkling flavored water. And she said, "Mom, I'm not drinking after you. I could get the virus." So they know what's going on in the world, at least they've built in their brain. So it's at least our job to check in on them and to give them enough information that they can start building maybe a safeness and a calmness in their hearts.
I love that. I feel like that is so important. So for the next part of our conversation, I was wondering if we could talk a little bit about in relationships and time in the home. So I've been talking to a lot of friends and family and parents kind of trying to manage their time, manage play versus work, and then manage relationships between siblings. I mean, I grew up one of the oldest of 3, and I can not imagine if we had been confined together for this long. I think it would have been a lot like the Lord of the Flies, at least for the first week or so. And then I think it would have even gotten worse. I think it would have come to this place of us versus them, and we would have started prank show style just berating our parents with problems. Do you, we did enough to each other. I think that if we had turned against our parents, it would have been a thing. Do you have any advice on managing and fostering parent to kid relationships right now, sibling relationships during this? I mean, and, or maybe for parents and caregivers who might be feeling outnumbered. I mean, you as a teacher handle much more than three or four at any one time. So you're the one to ask.
Well, I guess the answer would be that you have to be the holder of the conch at all times.
Right. If we're keeping up the Lord of the Flies metaphor.
For sure. So you are in control at all times. When you're the adult, that's your job, and you don't have to be doing it perfectly, but you do have to need to have a kind of a plan. And so The plan that I have learned, this concept was introduced to me by Dr. Danae Barahona. She works in behavior analysis of children. Mm-hmm. And she told me about this expansion contraction concept. And This applies to people and activities, and this is how it goes. When we are together for a while, we need to be apart for a while. And kind of if you're in an extrovert introvert relationship, you kind of already know that. You know that, like, hey, I need some alone time. But when we are all together all the time, it is going to start to take a toll on every fiber of our being. And so even those of us that love to be together all the time do need to have some time either changing up what we're doing or who we're with. And it's really hard, especially if you're in a small space or your children are very young and are not in tune with giving you that space. And there are some ways that you can do that even with young children. So what that might look like is in managing your schedule for the day is think about a pattern. Mm-hmm. Let's spend some time together, some time apart, some time together, some time apart. And that might look like we're going to play a game together. Mm-hmm. And then I'm going to sit over here and do some work or read a book, or I'm going to clean the kitchen. And my child is going to play Legos and they're going to be apart from me because I can't handle being with you all the time, even though I love you. Mm-hmm. And that might look like one of your children, if you have multiples, doing one thing over here and another one's doing something over here. And this is even a chance to schedule in some media. Maybe you have a child watching TV and you have a child on an iPad. Maybe you have a child doing some helping you in the kitchen and you have another child doing Legos. And so they don't always want to do things that you've told them to do, but setting up this rhythm in your home can help just give you a sense of just space that might not really be there. And so this can also help your children stay in tune with things. A lot of children love to paint and could paint all day long, but some children don't really want to do that. But if you make it kind of a special time with you, they might do it, and then they can go play upstairs and run around and, do whatever they're going to do, something that they would choose. And so that's a way that we can get our children to think of the patterns that they're going to see in a regular school setting too. They get to choose some things and they don't get to choose some things. And whenever we give our children the opportunity to have some choice in what they're doing, that will help this, this process as well as children. One of the things that they're constantly looking for is attention. And one of the things that they're looking for is power too. And if we can give them both of those things in a well-planned way, you're going to see the behavior of your child more looking like what you're expecting or hoping for.
Wow. That's really great advice. I mean, cause I hear all of that stuff in kind of what I'm hearing from my friends, and a lot of that stuff applied even to things you already have. Like, for example, some of my friends feel like they're running out of activities, you know, or running out of new toys. And so some of that expand and contract stuff that you're saying could even be, I guess, utilized with different things that they're playing with or things we're setting up from any one day to day.
Absolutely. We've been doing a toy rotation. So I've thrown some of the toys in the bathtub in our guest room where the kids can't see them. They know they're there, but I say, hey, we're not playing with those right now. And then I'll bring it out and they'll be like, oh my goodness, this is the most amazing thing ever. And I'm like, yeah, we've had it for 4 years. So, you know, I cover and I give it back, and all of a sudden it's brand new and fun.
Yeah. It starts all over again.
Absolutely.
No, that is fantastic advice. Is there anything else that you want to tell parents right now? Anything else if we haven't covered it that you want to leave people with? I mean, I hear a lot of guilt from some of my most beloved parents right now. Anything you want to say to parents or any final advice?
Sure. I'm mostly just that you're doing a great job. Your children are seeing you do the work of life. They're seeing you do your jobs and make choices and be a leader in your home and nurture them and care for them and feed them. They're seeing you deal with stressful situations and communicate with other adults, either inside of your home or outside of your family. They're seeing your generosity. They're seeing the tears that you shed, either from sadness or anger or just looking at the news mm-hmm. and seeing the sadness of the world, and they're watching you. And I would just say the thing that they are going to remember from this whole activity is how they felt and just the feeling of home during this time. And mm-hmm. sometimes it's okay if the feeling of home is bored or the feeling of home is hectic, because you're teaching them about life. Sometimes home is hectic and sometimes it's angry and sometimes it's sad. And you're showing them that whatever life brings us, whatever our home goes through, we're going in it together and we're going to get through it.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And we're all going to say, I love you at the end, right? No matter what.
Somewhere at the end. Yes.
Yeah. Wherever the end may be. Which I'm sure is what we're all hoping for at this point. Whatever, we'll make it through this.
We're just going to keep guessing dates, right?
Right. And you know, whatever through this means, you know, mm-hmm. whatever it looks like on the other side, it's going to be different, but it'll still be family.
Absolutely. And God is God and he's in control. And that's what's so nice about this too. As a parent, I know that I don't have to be in control of everything. Is because I know that God can give me that peace to just say, God, you'll get us through this. And what I can't do on my own, I can lean on you. And I can show my children just that raw faith I have at this time as well.
Oh, I love that, Casey. Well, thank you so much for sharing some of your time with us today. I mean, I'm just so happy that you get to be, I'm so happy to give you a bigger microphone because you've got so much to say and so much wisdom to share. And so I'm really just thankful to have you here with me today.
Well, thanks for having me. It's really fun to have grown-up conversations.
I bet. And for all of those of you out there listening who might want to ask Casey a follow-up question or figure out a resource that she might have access to, you're completely invited to email any of our staff at Christ United. Her email is casey@cumc.com, and she'll either help you or direct you to somebody who can. So thanks so much, Casey. Thanks for being here today.
Thank you.
I hope all of you out there remember to take it just one day at a time, to lean on God when you can, and show yourself a little love and grace too. We love you. Talk to you soon.